You'd open your Bibles to Colossians. We're studying this wonderful letter from Paul. And we left off in the 27th verse, but I'd like to read from the 24th verse. Such a wonderful portion of Scripture here. Again, Paul referring to that great dispensation that he had been given. The divine arrangement of the ages. Given that vision and the depth of it in a prison. Sometimes God has to get you in a predicament to get you to look upon His face. Sometimes God's got to get you in a certain situation in order for you to be still and to know that He is God. I believe He's a God that does all things right. I believe that He is a God that would not hold anything good from me. But again, I got to get out of my mind and I got to start getting into faith. And that only comes one way, and that's going to come by the Word of God. And by His grace, that's the thing that's going to build us up, give us an inheritance, give us peace, comfort, and knowing that He is for us, just like Brother Paul. But picking up here in the 24th verse, it says, "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation," or again, the divine arrangement of the ages. We'll refer back to Ephesians 3, Lord willing, tonight again, which will give us cross-references of this wonderful mystery that Paul was given. "Of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints." And again, I think the importance of understanding that this is something that was made manifest that the saints did not know about. These were people that already knew Jesus as their Savior. But there's something more. And there's something more. And there's something more. And there's something better. And there's something better. And as you know your wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it's amazing every day, isn't it? He's new every day. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But yet that salvation is so new and fresh and wonderful every day. Praise God. And here we'll pick it up. "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect, mature, fully grown in Jesus Christ. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily." Going back again to the 27th verse, "to whom God would make known." This isn't a maybe. This isn't something that is to be hidden anymore. It's to be exposed. It's to be revealed. It's to be known. "What is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." And God wants us to have it. God wants you to have this. God wanted these saints to have this. As you know, and as this wonderful truth that's been preached in this assembly for many years, this is an age. This is the church age. This is an age that God is getting a people ready for the namesake of His Son. He's going to have a bride. There is a company that is being made ready. And by the grace of God, He has found favor to give this message to us. It's hump day, folks. It's Wednesday. It's been tough. What do you think? You think you have something to rejoice about today? I would pray that we would have something to rejoice about today and every day. Hallelujah. What He has called, what He has, oh gosh, counted us worthy to hear. God doesn't cast His pearl among swine, brothers and sisters. There's a reason we're hearing this. Not that we've already attained, But I'm going to tell you, by His grace, we're going to follow after it. What do you think? You say, I'll go? Hallelujah. I will go by His grace. Now let's move on. See, it's even His desire to give us this kingdom, it said. The mother lode, the riches of His glory. With the acceptance of this revelation, we enter into and partake of His wealth. The Bible calls it the very fullness of God. His desire that we would come to not just a knowledge, but a full knowledge of the truth. To know Him. To know Him. The fellowship of His sufferings. The power of His resurrection. To know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, that's 1 Timothy 2:4. He said that He would have all men to be saved. Jesus Christ is not a respecter of persons. A lot of people think, well, if you're born somewhere else or you were born in this country or something of that nature, that God had favor on one of it or another. No. He would that all men would be saved. And it didn't stop there. And come to a full knowledge. A full knowledge of His Son. He wants everybody to enter in and to partake of this wonderful invitation. And that's the invitation of Christ being manifest in us. If you think about it, it's His wealth, His complete wisdom, His righteousness, His holiness, His power. Complete, mature, perfected in us. Can you imagine the very glory of God? The very glory of God. Why me? Why me? But you know what? By His grace, go in and take it. He didn't say, you know, come in sheepish. He said, come boldly before the throne of grace, huh? And I need this. Do you understand? This is a need. This is the greatest need of my life. But it's going to take the greatest faith to believe it. See, that's why so many Christians, they'll stop short. I want complete salvation. The Bible talks about a complete salvation that even Paul, our wondrous Paul, he hoped to live to, which was the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, by the grace of God, he'll still be in that first rank. I'm sure. I'm certain of that. He said, I finished it. There's a crown. Hallelujah. Not just for me only, but to also them that love His appearing. Do you love Jesus' appearing? Is that what we're looking for, brothers and sisters? I believe it is. And that's the wondrous mystery, that we can fall in love with Jesus Christ like that. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 21, verses 9 through 11. Now, again, you think about that complete, mature perfection in us. And again, there's just so much. There's so much. And Lord willing, if He tarry, we may even get into a Revelation study later this year. But there in the ninth verse of the 21st chapter, it says, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now, again, we've cross-referenced this. If you go back to Revelation 3, you'll see that that bride that is seen in the Church of Philadelphia, she's known as New Jerusalem. That's her name. She's kept from that hour of temptation. She's kept from that tribulation. Hallelujah. The out resurrection which Paul had hoped to attain to, that's the group. Praise God. Paul will be there too, because the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Now, by His grace, that's what we hope to live in too. But whether it's the subway or the highway, I'm going to tell you, you're going to get there just the same. What do you think of that? Hallelujah. That's what we look to. But again, and He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city. And here she is, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Now look what she has, having the glory of God. And praise His name. And her light was like unto a stone most precious. Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the glory of God. But Jesus Christ is offering us to enter into this glory now. How much we love Him here and what we're looking for here by the grace of God is going to be our reward on the other side. The judgment right now for us, brothers and sisters, is for the reward that we're going to receive. I'm a son of God. I've asked Jesus to come into my heart. Paul even said back in Romans that I've been seated together with Him in the heavens in Christ Jesus. I'm there now. That's my citizenship. So what's he talking about now? something far and away different. It really is. It's a higher calling. Son, I don't want you just to be an heir. I want you to be a joint heir with me. But it's going to entail suffering. It's going to entail going without the camp. Are we willing to say, I will go? And say, Lord, I'm going to tell you, the things of this earth are growing strangely dim to me because my eyes are on you. Hallelujah. I'm starting to look upon the heavenly. I'm starting to set my affections on the things above. And that by His grace is where He wants us. But hallelujah, this is His very equal upon the throne. And as we read it, it's going to take us to be a yielded vessel, willing to endure testing. And it's Christ in us and nothing else. It's Christ alone, abiding as one with Him, branch and vine, the hope of glory. And what is glory's hope? For us to win the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now let's go on to the 28th verse. It says, whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man, in all wisdom, that we may present every man. Isn't that wonderful? He's not excluding anybody here, is he? He says, I want everybody to have this. Don't you see that there's harmony in the Word of God? There's harmony in the thought of God. Why would it again say in Timothy that all men would come into a full knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? This is something that everyone is being invited into, but so few, again, are going to take this and heed this call. That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Paul here again is pointing to Jesus Christ. He is the embodiment of truth and grace. And what is he warning us of? He's warning us of the loss. And really what the loss is the missed opportunity if we fail to yield to so great a calling. He's pleading with us at this time, brothers and sisters. Jesus Christ went to be with his Father so that the Holy Spirit would come. If it was about salvation, he would have just wrapped it up at that time. It would have been over. There wouldn't have been any more. He said, I must go so the Comforter may come. He's been with you and he shall be in you. There's many things I want to say to you, but you can't understand them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you, lead you, instruct you into all truth. He'll come and he'll take the things of mine, the very things of mine, and he'll make them yours. Is that happening in your life? I believe so. The very things of his, he's making them mine. You know what it is? It's the love of God. It's the love of God. It's the complete finishing. It's the brotherly love. It's the loving one another as Christ himself loves us. Thank you, Jesus. But he's pleading for us not to be as that church at Ephesus. You read about that church of Ephesus. It said that they labored much. They had many works. They really did have great faith. But they had left their first love. They had left their first love. There's something more, again, that he's calling us into. It's a serious time, brothers and sisters. It really is. Do you want his best? Is this something that you're saying, I'll go. I'm going to leave it behind. I'm going to come after you, Lord, fully. And it's worth it all. It is absolutely worth it all. Thank you, Jesus. But again, instead of leaving that first love, he wants us to be perfect. And that word perfect is mature. It means fully grown in Christ Jesus. How can we ignore so great a calling? So great complete salvation. See, there are babes out there that only can stomach milk. But be as those by the grace of God that desire meat. Desire the strong meat. That have the full set of teeth. As that Shulamite woman. She was fully grown there in Song of Solomon, wasn't she? Talks about her. How beautiful she is. She had a little sister, but she had no breasts. She wasn't mature. She couldn't fully enter into that relationship. That her sister could. Come on now. Think of what God's telling us throughout His Word. Oh yes, there is a high calling. There are many virgins. But Thou excels them all. I want to win Him. It's about winning Jesus Christ. And it's how much love, by the grace of God, I'm going to allow Him to put in my life. And you know what love is? It's His truth. It is. It's His truth. I'm finding that out. It's the Word of God. And that Word of God, when it becomes living and abiding in me, this is Jesus Christ. This is the love of God. Hallelujah. Verse 29. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. Again, this is sweet Paul, the co-laborer. Let's turn over to Philippians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15. That's Philippians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul, I'll tell you what. If there was any way, any means, any possibility that he could get to this resurrection, this is what he wanted to do. Hallelujah. This is 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, which we already quoted here. About the dead in Christ shall rise first. Hallelujah. I want to meet the Lord in the air. Everybody's looking for Him to come down here. I hope they're still at least looking out much. I want to meet Him up there. I want to be an airborne saint. I want to go special delivery. Hallelujah. There's a group that's going to meet Him in the air and know the Word of God. There's a group that's with Him first, sister. And I can't imagine. In the midst of the throne, in the very midst of the throne. Praising, worshiping Him. Holding Him. There's a closeness with that group. Hallelujah. I think it might be bridal type. What do you think about that? But it says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And remember, this is Brother Paul, who already told us that he's a son of God, who already told us he's been seated in the heavens in Christ Jesus. Now, what is he talking about here in the 12th verse? Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. I believe Brother Paul knew he was justified, did he not, at this time? You think so, Brother Scott? Oh, I'm sure he did. Do you think he was sinless before his Lord? Absolutely. Perfect in a certain way. Don't you believe so? Absolutely, he said that again and again. So what's the perfection he's hoping to attain at this time? Come on now. Read the Word of God. What's it talking about? He wants to be mature. He wants to be fully grown. He wants to meet the Lord by the grace of God. See, a lot of people get afraid about what I'm saying here as His equal. Jesus Christ is going to have a bride. And He said, look, I'll give you everything, honey, up to half of my kingdom. Those aren't just stories. Those are types. That's what Jesus wants to have. Somebody to rule and reign jointly with Him. Can you imagine that? That's the call. That's the word that's coming forth. Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. Oh, I'm so glad. Thank you, Lord. Praise His name. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after. If that I may apprehend for that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. This is that love match. Oh, I appreciate Brother Kevin bringing out that so many times. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I believe the Apostle Paul knew that he had salvation. The Holy Spirit, he had a lot, didn't he? But he was hoping to apprehend something here. Oh, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Colossians 4:12, we'll get to that, Lord willing. And that's talking about that we would stand fully, complete, mature in all the will of God. You think He's urging you on? Huh? He has. He's laid out a course for you, hasn't He, sister? Amen. There it is. I see it. The finishing line's right there. And He's standing there and He's opened arms. He said, come and get me. Yep. Yep. That's what this whole deal's about. This whole life is about that. It's about winning Him. By the grace of God, don't let us stop short. Don't let us grow weary in the way. Don't let us get caught up into the things that we think are so important. Why I'm not running, Lord, is because, well, so-and-so didn't treat me right. Or, you know, my sister, my mom's here and they haven't treated me right. And all these different things. There's lots of excuses that you can make. But the one who kept you from it is the one you look at in the mirror. Do you know that? You're the only one that's going to keep you from going to God, with God. You're the only one that's going to keep you from His best. He said, all men. That's all mankind, ladies. Everyone. Everyone. Run, brother. Run. Hallelujah. Oh, let's run together. Praise God. Praise God. Verse 29 continues on with this thought that Paul was running until the very end. There was not just a crown for him, but hallelujah for me also, if all love is appearing. And that's 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. He was the one that God chose to reveal the mystery of Christ, His bride. The working of Christ in me, the hope of glory. The bride making herself ready. And how? By letting. By allowing. According to His working. Who works in us mightily. Are you allowing Jesus Christ to work mightily in you? That's what it's about. Are we going to fight? Are we going to be hardened? Or are we going to break up that fallow ground? I want to be pliable. I want Him to be able to mold me and make me after His will. I don't want to get caught up into this old world. I don't want to get caught up into, well, the principle of the thing is, brother. Well, we got to right the wrong. How about we just love? What do you think? Love's going to get me into that intimate throne room with Him. That's what Jesus Christ is all about. That's what He was all about. He came to save that which was lost. Such a wonderful thing. He came to give life and life abundant. Abundant. Oh, praise God. I love His abundance. And it's grace upon grace. And it must be working in us mightily, as it says here, in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So for us to attain unto the great resurrection, the wonderful rapture in the sky, that by His grace is in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and then face to face, we're going to behold Him by the grace of God. Okay, let's get into chapter 2. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and into all riches of the full assurance of understanding. See, there's a full assurance. See, He doesn't stop with this, well, you have assurance. It's a full assurance. And it's the riches of the full assurance of understanding. This is exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, God. I love Him. I love Him. Hallelujah. To the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Okay. We'll go back here and get verse 1. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Now again, before we go on, this is the saint in whom we are to follow as he followed Christ. The secrets of men are going to be judged. The intent of the heart is going to be judged according to Paul's gospel. It's the word of God. This is an important message, as we know. Thank God we've been taught this. His faith and love given by God we are to follow. His lifestyle, his walk. And again, thinking about Brother Paul, the paramount characteristic of his life was love. And it wasn't just love. It was brotherly love. He gave his life for it. You know that, brothers and sisters? He gave his life for it. The welfare of the saints was his desire. The love for the saints cost him everything. He was Christ-like. He enriched us all while suffering the loss of all things. Are we willing to go that far? Awful quiet. Are we willing to go that far? I believe He can make us willing. I do. This was Brother Paul. Follow me as I follow Christ. Think about this walk. Are you ready? Thank God I don't have to make myself ready, huh? Are you praying for tribulation? I got enough. What do you think? Game on? Yeah. We talking it or are we walking it? See, I get to thinking too much about it. I'm just going to tell you, it make me panic. I'm going to get afraid. Perfect love casts out all fear, doesn't it? Huh? I fall in love with Him. You know, I think about my wife sometimes. She was 18 years old when she married me. Can you imagine that? She really thought about what she was doing. She should have been deathly afraid. I was 20, going on 8. Now I'm 40, going on 12, ask her. You see what I'm talking about? If you start thinking about things too much, now I'm not just saying you don't think about things, don't get me wrong. But we're talking about the love of God. And I believe we're going to talk about the love of God if Jesus tarry in this godly courtship. You think through things on, obviously, God gives you wisdom, understanding on all that, but you believe, you trust. By the grace of God, you've got to make yourself vulnerable. We'll talk about that a little bit on Sunday. Do you think Jesus Christ was vulnerable when He came? Oh, yes, He was. I'm going to see Him as a lamb slain. That's who came. Don't be hardened, brothers and sisters. Jesus came and He gave it all. Yeah. Vulnerable. He takes care of you. That's the only way you're ever going to love. If you're going to protect yourself, if you're going to do things like that, it's not going to work. You're going to be hardened. We need to let go and let God help us love. You're going to have to accept hurt when you do that. Do you know that? There's going to be pain along the way. But He's God of all comfort. What do you think? Amen? Amen. Don't want to get too much aside, but Lord knows. All right. He was Christ-like. Precious brother. Jesus said even to Ananias, who took Paul in after that road to Damascus, He said to him, I'm going to show him how great things he must suffer for my namesake. If you suffer with me, you're going to reign with me. If you deny the sufferings, you're not going to reign with me. It's that simple. Okay? Now, there's a sweetness in the suffering. I don't want to get caught up into thinking, oh, woe is me, and this life's just going to be so hard and terrible. I love my life. I love my life. I believe if you're a Christian, by the grace of God, how could you say anything else but, I love my life? Because the life that you now live isn't you anymore, is it? Uh-uh. You died. And now I'm alive. And it's new and it's incorruptible. Isn't that wonderful? And now I live by faith in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's win, 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 win. It's all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. You get into this, you get this kind of vision, you're the called according to His purpose. What peace. What satisfaction to have direction, to have knowing where I'm going every day. I may not physically know. I might not mentally know, but I know my steps are ordered. I know He's going to do that which is right. I know He's going to perfect that which concerns me. Now, a lot of people say, well, brother, that's just ignorant. You know what great faith is? It's it's not ignorant. It's assurance. It's assurance. Hallelujah. Then people say, well, that's arrogant. And I say, oh, no, it's just knowing. It's knowing who's for me. Resting in His bosom. snuggling up to Him every moment of the day and saying, Jesus, I'm so thankful You're for me. I'm so thankful I know that You're for me. That's faith. That's all it is. It's going to either be not faith or it's going to be faith. I'm either going to be believing Him or I'm going to lay in the land of unbelief. And I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, I know the land of belief is far better. There's a lot more rest in that land. There's promise in that land. Oh, hallelujah, there's promise in that land. Thank you, God. All right. But Paul, I love this, was the only one who also stated that he had finished his course, didn't he? And a crown was waiting for him. He knew that the weaker that he was, the stronger he was. He knew that the more tried that he would become, the greater the reward. Colossae and Laodicea were heavy on his heart. They needed correction. Laodicea, you know, in Revelation is the church that was neither hot nor cold. Wretched. Oh, poor. Naked. They fell a long way, didn't they? Paul was fighting for him still, though. He loved them. Love your brothers and sisters. Don't judge them. Love them. Give them the Word of God. Encourage. Huh? We're not to judge. We're not. Mm-mm. Encourage them. Give them the Word. Oh, hallelujah. See, this is what happens when we reject the chastening and the correction. We can get so far away from God. And I've seen people like this. And you know people like this. You get so far away from God that the very next generation is lost. It's gone. It's scary. And it's sad, but it happens. And I know, brothers and sisters, that I'm telling you, that grew up here, that have children that aren't saved. Get God in your home. Get God in your life. Get God in your children. By the grace of God, get God into everything. Let Him protect you. Let Him put His hedge of protection on you. Okay, verses 2 and 3. Oh, Lord willing, we're just moving right along. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In such a precious couple verses here. And again, there's that mystery coming right back at us. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Fellow heirs. You remember that word, synchloronymous? I thought it was a dinosaur when I first said it. It's a Greek word that means joint heirs as man and wife. And it becomes reality one way, and it's love. Let's go ahead and turn back there to Ephesians. I think we have a little time to do that. Ephesians chapter 3. Let's go over to verse 17. Says there, again, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. We'll do a couple different things with this, I think, Lord willing. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by what? By faith. That's the only way He's going to dwell there. And faith in what? In His Son. And there's but one faith. And it's in His Son. It's not what the world's telling us anymore, is it? By His grace, stay with the Word of God. Stay with it. They're insulting it more and more, aren't they? Raising up our children in schools, and not to get off on that, I know God will take care of. You know what? He who wills to know is going to know. I know that. Because He's for us. But this old world is trying to get God out of everything. They'll have a form of godliness. We can talk about any other God you want to talk about in any place except for Jesus. And that's very God. Oh, yes, very God. Hallelujah. But that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. This is how we're going to understand, we're going to comprehend, we're going to do anything. Rooted, grounded in love. May be able to comprehend with all the saints. What is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height? Every dimension. Every dimension. The whole volume here is what we're getting. To know the love of Christ. To know it. Which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. I don't know about you, but I want full power in me. Huh? This is power. I'm beginning to realize more and more every day the power of God. This last trip that He took me on is just amazing to me. It's not just here at Living Waters Tabernacle. Can you imagine that? I can take it home. I can take it to Florida. I can take it everywhere I go by the grace of God because He's with me. The very power of God. Hallelujah. See, this is Paul's prayer here is for mystery knowledge. The importance of the comprehension of Christ's love. What a statement. And with all the saints to know this. And to know the love of Christ. I love how it says here, if you read what we read. And to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. See, we just entered into another dimension when we read that, didn't we? The only thing I know on this earth, naturally speaking, is through knowledge, is it not? Huh? Your jobs? Didn't you have to go to either a trade school or somebody teach you how to do it? Or you went to college or something of that nature. It all comes through knowledge. But this passes knowledge. This is beyond that. Now, do you understand why the Word says that the natural man, the natural mind, it can't grasp, it can't conceive the things of God? It's foolishness to them. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's the love mind. That's His heart. That's the only way that I'm ever going to grasp these things. I come at this with my mind and it's never going to happen. I come at it in faith and say, Lord, I believe that He is. Huh? It's got to be complete. I've got to trust Him. By the grace of God, I've got to be vulnerable, don't I? Open up to Him and say, Lord, I believe that You are I am. And that You're going to do it. You're going to complete it. That You're the author and finisher of my faith. Huh? It's not me. Hallelujah. I'm on a race course, but You empower me to run. I think that by the grace of God, what He's telling us here is something marvelous. All this natural mind can understand is knowledge, and it's beyond it. So how do I get it? Jesus. One way. It's going to be Jesus Christ. To know the love is Jesus. And again, we read that was by faith. And that only comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. That's 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. Now it says here, but whoso keepeth His word, in Him verily is the love of God perfected. Again, that word perfected means matured, fully developed. Who keeps the word of God. Cherishes. In Him is the love of God perfected, fully matured, grown, established, ripened. It's the word and it alone and the love, the adoration of it that gives us the spiritual gift of understanding this love. And oh, the fullness, the wonderful fullness. You want to be filled? This is the filling that He wants to give you. The very fullness of God. The very fullness of God. That's who you have with you. By the grace of God, that's who we can have continuing to fill in our life. Christ in me, the hope of glory. And hallelujah, it is exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. That's exactly what it is. And we enter into this and we will be one. There's no divisions. We're perfectly fit together. The Word of God even tells us that we're compacted. Isn't that something? Sometimes when you're compacted with people, it's kind of uncomfortable, isn't it? You understand what Brother Hill used to say about diamonds cutting diamonds now a little bit? Necessary. Your brothers and sisters are very necessary. Huh? Brothers, what were they born for? Adversity a little bit? You think He might have been talking about the spiritual a little bit? What do you think? I think so. We have to have things to overcome in our life to be overcomers. Don't want a perfect church. I want God's place. You know what God's place is going to have? Going to have things to overcome. There's different personalities in each one of us, brothers and sisters. But by the grace of God, we're running together. By the grace of God, that's the unity of the Spirit that we're seeking. Huh? Oneness in Him. This is the brotherly love that's going to win Him. This is the brotherly love that it's going to take. But I need to have compassion. I need to be thinking of my brother. Lord's opening my eyes to a lot of wonderful things about that. It's very important. It's vital. How can we say that we love God whom we haven't seen when I don't love my brother? I can say I love God, but if I don't love my brother, I'm a liar. Those are the very words of the King of Kings. There's something about this love. There's something about being knit together in love. And it's called the full assurance of understanding. Better soften up. Lord, even make me more soft. I remember you've heard me say, well, Lord, they just keep doing me so wrong. I'm tired of it. Tired of getting stepped on all the time. What about your Jesus? You think He suffered a little bit more than you did? Think about what He's done. Think about what He did. Think about what He's doing. Now, by the grace of God, let Him let you think about what He's doing in you. Oh, that's the best. Oh, that's the best. Praise God. Praise God. Fully matured. Christ in me, the hope of glory. See, when we enter into this, again, we're going to be perfectly joined together. It's treasure beyond of the very wisdom, the very knowledge of the love of Christ. And I'd like to just kind of close this out in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 through 21. It's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 through 21. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you. And it's a gift, brothers and sisters. This is nothing you could ever earn. You never deserved it. It's grace. It's grace. He's going to give this. The spirit of wisdom, revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That ye may know, not maybe, not slightly, not have just a glimpse, but to know. This is what He's offering. This is what He wants us to enter into right now, to know. What is the hope of His calling? What is the hope? Christ in me. The hope of glory. The very love of God fulfilled in my life. The fullness of God. What is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? It's this inheritance. What is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? According to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. And what is this knowledge I wrote here? What is this enlightened understanding? What is the hope of His calling? What are the riches of His glory? What is this exceeding power that He really is pleading for us not to miss? Christ in me. Christ was already in Paul. Do you understand that? Do you see where this is all going? Paul already knew Christ as his Savior. These ones that he was talking to already knew Jesus Christ as their Savior. I want a bride. I want to take everything of mine and I want to make them yours. When you become one, we're going to talk about godly courtship, Lord willing. I know they're going to do this. When you become one with somebody, anymore they don't look at marriage this way. Everybody's got a separate bank account. Everybody's got a separate this. We're going to have a prenuptial. We're going to do this. That's not marriage, brothers and sisters. Hope I'm not stepping on your toes, but sometimes it's going to happen. When you get married, you become one. Under the hand of God. See, God is the only one that can make you one. But what mine is hers, what hers is mine. There's the greatest type, the greatest symbol, the greatest analogy, whatever you want to say, that God gave us of what He's preparing for His Son in this age is for a people for His namesake. Even that anymore, women don't take the name of the man, I guess, huh? I got to remind you what this stuff means. It's kind of archaic, old-fashioned. My wife is Mrs. Odorcio, by the way. Okay. That's my namesake. Hello. How about hello? He's looking for His namesake, brothers and sisters. I know we know it, but I think it just gets... It just gets more precious to me every day. And I'm thankful He reminds me every day. And I'm thankful He can cause me to kind of tear up a little bit every day when I think about, you know, that day's coming. That day's a coming. Not that I've already apprehended. Mm-mm. Not that I've already attained. But you know one thing He's teaching me? By grace, He wants me to have this. And by grace, I know He's going to give me the faith, if I'll allow it, that I'm going to have this part with Him. And that is the glory that I can have as my hope, that I'm going to someday rule and reign with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now that's a hope. That's a hope. Praise God. Let's pray. Dear God, again, we thank You for this time. We thank You for Your words of encouragement, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just ask that each one of us here would have a heart to receive this, Lord. Help us again to have a heart that would believe it. That again, that the vision would be so real, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened to this wondrous gift that You're giving us, Lord. You've placed, I believe, in many of the hearts here tonight, a crown in our hand. And You said, hold that fast which Thou hast, that no man take Thy crown. Help us to love Your appearing, Lord Jesus. I believe it's the right time. I do. I see these things going on all over the world. And You said, boy, when these things start to happen, look up, look up, look up. Because it's nigh. Oh, it's so nigh. It's but a vapor even, Lord. So whether or not it's even in my lifetime, I know it's going to be soon. Let us just fall in love with You. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.